Hi everyone, welcome to the press. It is the start of a new week. It's the start of a fairly short week for us here on the show. It's good to have you with us. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for being here. It was a good week last week, I think, for many of you. A lot of people out there had Colin Morikawa in Japan. He picked up his sixth PGA Tour win. If you got him in play when the Friday round kind of took everyone down a few pegs except Bo Hostler, you got him at a really good number. If you got him a little bit later on in the process or pre-tournament, you got him in a not great number, but not the worst number, unless you got it really late on Sunday. So I did not bet him. I thought he was a little too short for my liking, but did suggest that he could have a good week here, and turns out he did. Loved Eric Cole, tied for second. He is the grinder of the year. He's a guy who's really transformed himself into basically the Sungjae Im of America, even though Sungjae Im lives in America. And he has just been grinding it out all year. It's been really cool to see. So we've got that tournament in the books. The PGA Tour is off this week. Then next week, they have the Worldwide Technology Championship in Baja, California at Tiger Woods' design down there. New venue for this event because they moved from Playa del Carmen, the event that's now, or the venue that's now, the Greg Norman design that's at El Chameleon that's now Live. So, Liv's done for the year. They just had their team championship. Turned out the Crushers wound up winning. I did want to pass along some interesting information just so you kind of know, because we try to cover every major tour on this show. But Jeff Sherman, who does Golf Odds, he is Golf Odds on Twitter or X, depending on what you remember it as, does a great job sharing information about handle and odds and all kinds of stuff. And he shared that he had exactly one ticket on the LIV Team Championship in their shop at the Westgate. So the Superbook, one of the biggest books in the world, one of the most important books in the world, had one ticket on the LIV event. So that we only spent like 5 minutes on it. It was probably 4.5 minutes too long. We did recommend the Fireballs. They were decent, but ultimately didn't get there to the finals. You had basically the top four teams got to the finals, and that was the end result. The Crushers wound up winning. They were one of the favorites, so you know it happens. I think they were like 7 or 8 to 1 to win, so it wouldn't have been a big ticket, even if you were the one person who bet on it at the Westgate. Obviously, other books take that action, but compared to the PGA Tour champions, which we do talk about on this show, PGA Tour champions got 13 tickets. Compared to the one for LIV. So, not a lot of action either way. In fact, they've said they've moved away from Korn Ferry Tour betting altogether because of a lack of interest. We don't really talk about it on this show because it's almost impossible to predict. So, we will probably continue not talking about the Korn Ferry Tour in 2024. But for the remainder of this year, we still have the PGA Tour, which, again, they pick up in 2 weeks. Champions Tour picks up in 2 weeks. They are off this week. They have the TimberTech Championship next week. It's going to be a weird dynamic because they have events of 54 and 36 players for the final two events. But Steve Stricker's already won the Charles Schwab Cup. It's over. He's already won it. He doesn't even have to play in the final two events unless there's some kind of requirement that you have to play to claim the trophy in the final event, which you may have to do. So the odds for that market will be weird because they're not playing for the Charles Schwab Cup. They're just playing for... And it's not an inconsequential amount of money to first place over the next two events, but it's not for the season-long race. So that's a little deviation. So what we have this week, again, we have the DP World Tour in action. They have the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters. They're back on the schedule. The event really kind of got seemingly converted into an Asian Tour event. Because became part of the international series. And then all of a sudden it got worked out that the Qatar Masters was going to be back on the schedule. And this was a few months ago, maybe a month and a half ago, that they made this announcement. So it's back on the schedule. Pretty sure it's got a boosted purse. It's now 3.75 million euro or dollars or close enough. $3.75 million. And that will still be played at Doha Country Club. So we're going to talk about that today. The other event is the Maybank Championship on the LPGA. That's in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. That's a limited field event, $3 million tournament. Good solid field. Not a whole lot of experience at the venue, obviously. It's a new tournament, so it will be tricky to handicap that fairly well. But we do have some experience at this venue, Doha Country Club, which gives us at least a decent chance to put together some horse-for-course plays for this week. But before we get there, let's go ahead and think about the top of the table here, and then we'll build upon the couple years' worth of results, at least somewhat recent memory that we can build upon. So we've got a battery of three favorites this week, Aaron Rye, Torbjørn Olesen, and Alexander Bjork. They are all 20-1. That alone should tell you this is going to be a little bit of a strange week, because usually you would have a favorite on this tour in the teens. We have three co-favorites. Leads me to believe there's some skepticism that this is going to be a particularly easy-to-predict tournament. Jordan Smith, Rasmus Højgaard, 22-1. Yannick Paul, 25-1. And then at 28, former winner here, Ewan Ferguson, Adrian Ortegi, and Bob McIntyre. Ryo Hisetsun at 30-1 after I thought was a nice showing last week in Japan on the PGA Tour. And then in the 35 range, Romain Langasque, Matt Wallace, Antoine Rosner, the 40s, four of them. Richard Mansell, who's had a nice couple weeks, Matthew Pavon, Matthew Southgate, Marcel Siem, Tristan Lawrence, Jorge Campillo, Daniel Hillier, and Alex Fitzpatrick are your 45s. So of that, I think we're looking toward ball strikers here, right? I mean, that's going to be our natural tendency on this tour in particular. Bjork doesn't have a record here to speak of. You don't really have that to go off of. Olesen was 12th here last year, so he does have a little bit of a record on this golf course. That's pretty decent, but at 20-1, I'm not sure that's the right play. Yannick Paul does not have a top 15 finish here in the 3 years of the last five that this was played at Doha. I think Hisetsun makes a lot of sense, but 30-1 also feels kind of short for him. I would love to see him closer to 40. Richard Mansell has played very well recently after kind of having a just bleh year otherwise. So I'm willing to look at him based on current form. Ewan Ferguson is a past winner here, but I'm really not feeling him right now. I could go with Højgaard or Jordan Smith, but I feel like this is a week where something strange can happen or something stranger can happen. So I do want to point out Adrian Ortegi as we transition to the players who have multiple top 15 finishes at this venue in this tournament in the last 5 years. So if you look at the history of the event over the last 5 years that this tournament has been played, then you can see three of them are Doha Country Club, two are at another facility that I don't think is particularly relevant to this discussion. I don't think geography really matters that much. There is some interpretation of Doha Country Club as a little bit of a parallel to a links-style course. I don't know if I buy that, but I can live with that, I guess, in terms of wind susceptibility. So you've got to be able to play in that. And then, let's just go through the guys that have the multiple top 15 finishes, and then we'll see where they stack up in the field. Before I do that, I do want to say I think Eddie Pepperell's worth a look here. He is a past winner of this tournament at this venue in 2018. He now has the assurance of having his DP World Tour card for next year. So it's been a very frustrating year, but he did post on Twitter or X that he does have his card secured now. So he's playing free up, which I think that makes a golfer dangerous when you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. And for him, everything to gain is improved status by winning on the DP World Tour again, a place where he's done it. So I want to point that out. That was when he was playing some of his best, most influential golf, but 65-1, I feel, is probably an appropriate number. I think some people are going to take Nick Basham at 70-1 as well, has been playing well. So let's get into these players with some history. So Marcus Armitage, a lot of people are going to play him this week. He's already been dumped from some books at 125-1 into like the 70-80 range. DraftKings, he's like 70-1 right now. A lot of people got on that early and moved the line. That was a bad line. That was a bad number for the books. So I still think 70's worth a look. It's still a good payday, but you definitely did not get the best of the number if you didn't get him right away. Jorge Campillo, I think, is worth a look. Adrian Arenas may be worth a look, but I think I like Otegi more as a Spanish play, if you want to go there. His record is 10th in 2018 and 5th last year, so on both sides of the delay, so to speak, between having the events here, or this gap, you know, the gap where they didn't play at Doha Country Club. Your other Spanish play this week could be Pablo Larrazabal. Larrazabal, if you would like to say it like an English person. He's 50-1, typically disrespected, and has been disrespected throughout really the entire summer. His odds were horrific throughout the entire summer. He missed the cut last week in Andalusia. Was tied for 20th in the Spanish Open. He's not playing his best golf. However, his record at this venue, 4th in 2018, 5th in 2022. Seems to play some of his best golf in the Middle East. I'm willing to go with him this week. I would like a better price, but I'm willing to live with that. There are a couple of South African guys that have good records here that are not playing, Justin Harding and George Kitsia. They're not taking part in this. Marcus Kinault is part of this group of multiple top 15s in this three-year run. He's 75-1. He's not playing good golf otherwise. If you look at his current run of form, missed the cut at the Andalusia Masters, missed the cut at the Spanish Open, 41st at the French Open, missed the cut at the Irish Open, missed the cut at the BMW PGA. Not playing good. In terms of what you would get otherwise, if you went to Marcus Armitage at 70-1, feel like you're getting something a little bit better at that price. So I'm willing to say, hey, let's ride with him. He was T13 last week in the Andalusia Masters, missed the cut in the Open de España, and was a tied runner-up at the Dunhill Link. So trying to make that Linksy connection, especially with that horrible weather they had at the Dunhill Links. All right, I think Armitage is a way better play than Marcus Kinault, who does have 2 third-place finishes here in 2018 and 2022. The other guy I want to point out that's a multiple-time top 15 finisher, actually multiple-time top 10 finisher, is Mike Lorenzo Vera, the Frenchman, 10th in 2018, runner-up in 2019. His current form is better. Tied for 26th last time out of the Andalusia Masters. 65 they didn't update his final round total, which is kind of weird. But anyway, finished at 281. And then he was tied for 9th in the Open de España, 4 rounds in the 60s. Tied for 44th in the Dunhill Links Championship. It's not bad. I mean, it's not bad. He was tied for 85th in the Irish Open, had a terrible final day, but otherwise it was pretty decent. So he's making money, playing pretty well on this little recent swing. I think he's worth a look here. If you look at his number, it's 75-1. Do I like Armitage more at 70? Yeah, but I could live with Mike Lorenzo Vera at that price. We talked about Otegi. He's 28-1 that I've seen. And then the other guy that would fit this description is Oliver Wilson. He's not competing this week. So over the history, I will point out Chase Hanna was runner-up here, I think it was last year, to Ewan Ferguson. He was T4 last week at the Andalusia Masters. So you look at the Open de España, T64, Dunhill Links, he WD'd. He was one of those guys who wanted to get the hell out of there. So he is 80-1, I think also worth a look. I feel like a lot of the guys that we've talked about so far that I'm interested in are 70-80-1. Basham, Armitage, Lorenzo Vera, to a degree Kinault, Chase Hanna for sure, Eddie Pepperell, 65. I mean, it's all just kind of sitting right there at that number. Jeff Winther had a nice outing last time out. I think some people would like Sami Välimäki because he's played well in the Middle East. But I don't think he screams out a pick. And then you start kind of going a little bit further down the board. So I would kind of be interested in Johan Veerman. We talked about Adrien Arnaas at 110-1. Will Bessling interests me a fair amount. I bet on him a whole lot more frequently a couple years ago, year and 2 years ago. T26 last week in Soto Grande, T35 at the Open de España, WD at the Dunhill Links, and then T41 at the Open de France. So it's not like he's playing incredible golf, but the rest of his year has been garbage. 130 to 1 is interesting to me for a guy that might just be able to drive the heck out of the ball and kind of bash his way through the wind if it presents itself. I'm willing to consider him at that number. Some people are going to bet Matthew Baldwin at 150 to 1 because he was T4 or T10 here in 2018. I think I would slide away from that, personally speaking. And I think I would probably, oh, Justin Walters is playing. Oh, but not Justin Harding. Wrong guy. Sorry, I got excited about the wrong guy for a second. But he actually is on my list, Justin Walters. T12 in 2022. He is 250 to 1. I'm not going to bet him. But there's another kind of T15, you know, T15 at least one time in the last three of these guy that could be out there. Like I said, I'm probably going to live in the 70 to 80 range here and just go with that. But knowing that the three co-favorites, at least at the moment, are all on 20 to 1, leads you to believe that this is a pretty tight tournament and that there isn't and there aren't clear standout players. So they put the ball strikers up top, or the guys that regularly play the PGA Tour, or that were on the Ryder Cup team right up top. And that's what they're going to throw into the blender and hope you pick the wrong one. So Otegi is probably going to be a yes for me. Maybe a little bit on Hisetsun, and then we're just going to maybe Richard Mansell. I'm not sure. I'm skeptical. I've kind of soured on Alex Fitzpatrick recently. Maybe Pablo Larrazabal because he's played this tournament so well. And then I'm just going to live kind of in the 60s and worse with Eddie Pepperell and Marcus Armitage and Mike Lorenzo Vera, maybe Chase Hanna. Yeah, it's not going to be a deep card for me. This is a hard to predict event. Money's good. Points are good where they are at this point in the year. Then they have to get right to the end. Like after this week, we're at the end of this, we're at the end of the line. You get into those final couple of events between South Africa and the United Arab Emirates to wrap it all up. So this is a fairly important event in terms of trying to get access for those events. So there is quite a bit on the line. It's all kind of stacked up together. I didn't see anybody in the like 300s or worse that screamed like, "Oh, you got to have something on them just for the heck of it," kind of bet. Yeah, nothing there that I'm gonna just put $5 on and hope something weird happens. So that's gonna be my card on this event. It's probably four of those and why I wind up picking at small wagers. Maybe you know, point for me or a unit for me is usually $50, so maybe a half wager, probably more like a third, you know, a third to a quarter kind of thing. 10 to 15 buck wagers type of deal, especially on those longer shots. But if they hit, that's a nice little pickup on a Sunday morning, and you can go do something with the NFL with that or whatever you want to wager on. Know we're a golf betting podcast, but I did want to talk about just a weird weekend of bankroll management. And this is something everyone deals with, I think, is trying to kind of rein yourself in when things go wrong or get weird. I lost $300 worth of NFL bets by 3.5 points. And the night prior lost $100, $105 to be exact, worth of bets by 2 points. So was getting pretty frustrated, and I was not in a good place. Like, all right, well, we're just gonna launch this off a cliff and get out of here and then start over on this deposit. I had made a few $100, so I was willing to kind of just live with breaking even. And so I bet Dallas Goedert at 18 to 1 on BetMGM. Their number was much better than DraftKings. Theirs was like 12 or 13 to 1 to score the first touchdown. I knew that the Dolphins play defense very similarly to the Rams in that game. Goedert was the first touchdown scorer. I thought something similar might happen out the gate. Sure enough, it did. I hit. for 360 plus my bet back, so 380 in total. Saved the entire weekend. And then there was a simple boost on DraftKings between Hill and Tyreek Hill and AJ Brown to go over 150 receiving yards, boosted to plus 100. You knew that the ball was going to move in that game, so that was some free money. And turned out, wound up on the weekend. What a weird, weird sport. The weird endeavor that this is. So even if you're not doing well, even if things aren't going well, you're not hitting winners or you're coming up just short, especially in golf where it's really tough to do well over the long haul, you need to kind of temper your expectations, particularly this time of year, but know that you're just one or two weeks away from being way up and way back on top. So stay measured, hang in there if you're not doing well. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow we will talk about the Maybank Championship. There's really nothing else to talk about otherwise, so that we'll just do two shows this week. And apologies to all of you who are members. We've been having trouble with the PGA Tour ShotLink system for multiple weeks now. It's quite frustrating to try to get all that data in there, but hopefully that'll thaw out this week and we actually get all the data updated for the last few events of for the season for you. Thanks so much for listening to the show. We'll be back with another one tomorrow. I'm Ryan Ballingy. We'll catch you next time on The Press.